Happy Wednesday. It is February 18th, 2026. You're watching Deep Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ted. Good to see you.
Likewise. Welcome back stateside.
No, I'm still in Dubai, buddy.
Oh, you're still in Dubai. All right. Enjoying that 51st first floor view?
Yes, indeed. And my Dubai Starbucks. And get this. The Crown Prince sent over two enormous boxes of Dubai chocolates.
Watch your weight, John. See, can you bring that? You can bring that back stateside, right? Will it travel or will it melt?
Most definitely. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I don't know how stable it'll stay. Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad things are going well over there. So today we're going to be talking about another big Middle East story. Jordan is really feeling the heat. Normally a center of stability, almost to the point of being boring, but now they're really freaking out over there. Jordan freaking out is not something, I don't know about you, John, I'm not used to hearing. The Republicans are thinking of pulling a nuclear option to pass this voter ID law. New unemployment numbers that we may want to talk to Robbie about that are super interesting. Basically, despite deportations, unemployment is continuing to go up. But I think it's a more complicated picture. Just a little follow-up from yesterday. We talked about this situation in France over the 23-year-old guy who was beaten to death, allegedly by members of the La France Insoumise. We still don't know if they're really party members, but we definitely they probably are. The police has arrested now 11 suspects in that case. In France, they tend to round up sort of extras. So I think what will happen here, because in the video, it only looks like it's about seven people who were involved in the assault. They probably will arrest the 11, turn the heat up. The French cops are not nice people. They will beat them up a little bit and then, get them to turn on their friends. And then they'll charge the six or seven, I think is the way this is going to go. And we're going to find out they really are all leftists. So that's only going to turn the heat up in France. But I wanted to just provide that follow up. Just a little business, please like, follow and share the show. Producer Trent is asking me to remind everybody that we have t-shirts available for sale. Everything is up and running. So there's the URL. Just go to dprogram.live. That's dprogram.live. And you'll see it. It's very self-evident. So easy a cartoonist can do it. Okay, I think that's it, right? Robbie, do we have an ad? Okay, so Robbie, if you want to pop that ad up, that'd be great. And in the meantime, John, you can we can maybe answer a question or two.
I want to answer a question.
Oh, yeah, please.
It's a good question, and I'm going to find it here. And it is from No Easy Answers. John, big fan, love Dead Drop. Thank you very much. There are comments on all podcasts with former CIA officers that say, there's no such thing as ex-CIA. What are your thoughts? What are signs of controlled opposition? There are very few things that I hate more than when people say in the comments, there's no such thing as ex-CIA, or once CIA, always CIA. Like, these mental defectives have any idea how the CIA does its business. First of all, I find that to be incredibly intellectually lazy. They're going to say, I'm CIA. I lost my freedom. I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost my pension. I lost friends and relatives who walked away from me because I'm secretly still in the CIA. And the CIA is paying me to go out there and criticize them and call them all war criminals.
You're playing the ultra long game, John.
I can't believe there are so many genuinely stupid people out there. But there are.
Yeah, I think they think that the CIA...
I'd like to see them tell Ed Snowden to his face, once CIA, always CIA. Or the sons of Philip Agee, who literally had to move around the globe constantly to avoid assassination from the CIA after he left the CIA. Or Ray McGovern, who has devoted his life to issues of peace and freedom after he left the CIA. So anyway, I fucking hate that more than pretty much anything else that I encounter.
Well, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
You by yourself are a shining example of how it doesn't make any sense.
Now, if you want to see like controlled podcasters, take a look at Sean Ryan. I mean, you can look at a dozen different podcasts where it's clear they're just sort of spouting the CIA line, but not the anti-CIA people. Sorry. Thanks
for
that.
All right, Sean, let's do this ad, and then and then we can do that leftover question about the Constitution from yesterday. Okay, here we go. You've probably noticed Rumble is growing fast and it's not slowing down. They're building a real alternative to big tech that puts creators first and actually protects free speech. And now there's Rumble Premium, an easy way to upgrade your experience. With Premium, you get ad-free viewing across the platform. No pre-rolls, no interruptions, just the content you came for. Plus, Premium members unlock exclusive content like bonus videos, behind-the-scenes drops, and more from your favorite creators. Right now, Rumble is offering $10 off an annual subscription. Just go to rumble.com/premium and use the promo code studio at checkout. That's rumble.com/premium, promo code studio. No ads, more freedom, and content you actually care about. That's the deal. And just weirdly, if you just do the $5 a month thing, John and I get it all. But if you do the $10 a month thing, we share it with like everybody across the platform, but you do you. If you do the $10 though, you get to see everything. So that's just, but you know, that's what's going on. John, there was this question yesterday. Robbie, you have this question. So if you can just maybe about the Constitution.
Yeah, it's there.
Sorry, I caught you while you're in the middle of swallowing.
It was an
email that we got from a friend of the show. He said, "Hi Robbie and Ted, I have a question for you and you John and Ted. In the episode titled Shutdown Scramble, in the episode Ted says the Constitution's outdated and needs to be rewritten from scratch. John agreed. When John responds to Ted's comment, he repeats that he felt the Constitution was outdated. My question is, why do you feel that way? And could you explain on why you feel that way?"
Right. John, you want to go first?
Yeah.
I think I went first last time. So
there are lots of parts of the Constitution that I think are either OBE, overtaken by events, or need to be seriously updated. Do we really need the Third Amendment? You know, I even saw a political cartoon the other day saying, you know, we've fought for the First Amendment. We've fought for the Second Amendment. Now it's time to fight for the Third Amendment. Well, the Third Amendment is that you can't quarter foreign troops in your home. Like, do we really need that?
Although, I don't know, we might have to worry about quartering domestic troops in our homes.
Right. I think that Supreme Court decisions over the decades have weakened the Fourth and the Sixth Amendments. Mm-hmm. I think that they need to be rewritten and strengthened. I think the Fifth Amendment, frankly, needs to be strengthened.
Agreed.
And we need an Equal Rights Amendment. A large majority of the states have an Equal Rights Amendment. Almost three quarters of the states have their own Equal Rights Amendments in their state constitutions. So, you know, and we've got an amendment.
Can we get rid of the Electoral College while we're at it?
Get rid of the Electoral College. First thing you do. Absolutely. Because it's not a democracy to have an Electoral College.
I would also strengthen the First Amendment. Right now, it only covers you if you're targeted by a public institution like the government. Yeah. But you should be covered. Your employer should not be able to fire you because of something you say not at work.
That's right.
So you should be covered for that. Right. The First Amendment needs to be strengthened. Probably needs to include a federal shield law type constitution. I would, if you're going to keep the Second Amendment, I would clarify it and define it so that we know which arms are covered, which arms are not covered. Make a distinction if we're going to between military and non-military weapons. But you know, avoid like so we just can make things clear.
Yes, I agree with all of that, Ted.
I think the most difficult thing is the amendment process is so complicated and so onerous. I mean, it's almost impossible to amend. And I think I would also make impeachment probably a lower bar. It's too hard. We've had some really shit presidents. We've never been able to remove and convict a single one in the Senate. I mean, come on. We should. It should be easier.
Let me thank Mike Cantu real quick. He says, John, I'd be happy to buy you a new webcam or Wi-Fi extender. Thank you. It's unnecessary. This is my old laptop. I just grabbed it by accident when I left to come to Dubai. I'm going to go home. I'm going to arrive home tomorrow morning. Frankly, I came into a couple of bucks this week. So I'm going to buy myself a brand new laptop and with a better camera. But thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, so that's good. Robbie, anything on the Constitution before we go?
We got to decide what kind of a nation are we going to be. Are we going to continue pretending that we are a federation of sovereign states, which is what we're currently doing now, until Trump decides he's going to get rid of the last power the states have, which is voting laws, yeah. Or are we going to become a traditional country like what you see in Europe? I mean, the whole reason
I would prefer to have a parliamentary system if we got rid of the Electoral College, then we'd be open to have multiple parties.
Yep. But if you get rid of the Electoral College, though, then what you're going to have is that you have three states who are going to decide everything for everybody else, which is
No. As it stands today, a candidate can win just 17 states and win the presidency.
Sure. No,
rid of the Electoral College, it would be by popular vote.
Yeah, the population of the rural states is also increasing vis-a-vis the population of the urban states, right?
California lost two entire congressional districts in the last census. That's 1.5 million people.
Each. It's a very different country than the 13 colonies. Side thought I had yesterday that really kind of chilled me. I'd be interested in hearing what both of you guys have to say about it. So, you know, there's been a lot of speculation. We're going to talk about the Save America Act, that the Republicans may be flirting with coming up with an excuse to cancel the elections, either this one and or the next one, because they know the results aren't going to favor them. I was thinking, you know, at first I was very focused. Everyone's focused on 2028. But I actually think if I were going to subvert an election, the one to start with is this one, for the simple reason, like, who's going to riot and mix it up with the cops violently in the streets over a midterm election that most people don't even vote in?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know. I do agree that the Constitution needs to be replaced. It's outdated. It's for a different. It's for a nation that no longer exists. It's for a nation that hasn't existed for well over a century, and the system of government that it's set up no longer exists either.
And if you want to define, like, that's Robbie, you always talk about, like, are we a confederate of states or are we a European style centralized representative democracy? Right. Again, the Constitution could clarify that. Right. I mean, you know, for example, if there's a right to succession, it should be clearly enumerated in a constitution.
Well, it is in the 9th and 10th amendments. But I mean, here's the part that people miss. The Constitution is a document of negative rights. It's supposed to tell the federal government, this is precisely what you are allowed to do. No more, no less. We are so far beyond that, that it's insane.
Well, it's also ignored, right? Like, while we're at it, let's clarify war powers, which, you know, currently is completely out of control.
That's right.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, I mean, for example, the FBI. Where does the Constitution give the federal government any jurisdiction whatsoever over law enforcement? I can't find
it. Creating a national police force.
Yeah, it's not there. Those are the purviews of the states.
Congress then in the, what is it, the late 19th century, very early 20th century, whenever it was, Congress arbitrarily decided that any right not given states in the Constitution automatically becomes the purview of the Congress.
Which is the mirror image of what the Constitution actually says.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the Founding Fathers intended for there to be an all-powerful central government. But this is the system we've given ourselves over the decades.
No, I agree. And so, like, for example, I imagine both of y'all been to Europe. I never have. I'm a untraveled Philistine. I know nothing. But I can guarantee you at least from the comments and stuff, people in Europe, like, why do the states dictate voting laws? That's a national thing. It's because our system of governments are completely different. We were never set up. The intention was not for there to be a strong overriding federal system that dictates its will to the states. It was supposed to be the other way around.
There were practical considerations for that, right? In 1789, the United States was big and rural and hard to get around. You know, even France, although it's the size of Texas, still a much smaller country, right? So, it's easier to make it centralized, although that didn't really happen until Napoleon.
Well, also France had 1,000 years of history, had a common language, had a common culture.
Less common than you might think, cobbled together from a bunch of duchies and.
Well, sure. And then, of course, they had the Brittany, and stuff. But the core of France, though, was French. You had a continuous history going back. Mm-hmm. Whereas, with the 13 colonies, you had, it was predominantly English, you had Irish, you had Scottish. People had their own different traditions.
But I think geography was really determinative.
Oh, of course it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the answer to the question, I think, needs to be replaced.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Robbie. And I also think another thing, John, would happen if we had a constitutional convention, just having the discussion would bring up things that you and I and Robbie and other people may not even think about. But there's considerations that people, needs and desires that the American people should have the ability to air and maybe have enshrined in a new constitution.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, Ted, if there were a new constitutional convention, the overwhelming pressure that the drafters would be under by corporations, special interests,
insane, and like
Israel, because Israel would want, any criticism of Israel equals anti-Semitism and a felony enshrined in the Constitution.
Punishable by death.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, the level of that's part of the problem, right? Is that our politicians are so incredibly corruptible and purchasable for low amounts of money. And there would be they would be overwhelmed. I mean, it would be impossible for anyone except maybe someone like a Rand Paul to resist. That's impossible. All right, John, let's talk about, I guess we're on this topic. Shall we talk about the Save America Act and then we'll get into the questions? So it turns out that the Save America Act currently has no chance of passage in the Senate unless they do the nuclear option and they say, okay, we're going to break through the filibuster, ram it through on a simple majority vote. John Fetterman, the traitor from your home state, says that he will vote for this. So basically what happens is, you have to present a passport when you vote, or a passport card, some kind of proof of citizenship, or you have to have your birth certificate, which, by the way, is the easiest to forge document in the world.
Yeah, there's no picture on it.
Mine's literally a card. It's hilarious. And they're issued by a bunch of jurisdictions, so no one knows what a proper one looks like. It's ridiculous. But you have to have a birth certificate. That's good enough. Or you have to have, but for people who've changed their names, like women who got married, trans people, they have to go to court and get a document that says, I'm the same person who's on this birth certificate. Who's going to do that to choose between the crappy Republicans and the crappy Democrats? Nobody. Yeah. I wouldn't. It's not worth it. I'm not going to bother.
No, I agree with you.
So the point is, this is not just simply about identifying yourself with a driver's license and saying, okay, that person is me. This is more than that. It's proof of citizenship, which is an entirely different animal. I think a lot of people who haven't been following this story don't really understand that. I think if it was just, identification, probably most Americans would say that's common sense. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But, this is proof of citizenship. So, which most people just don't have, or many people don't have.
Yeah, many don't.
Many is a better way to put it. So
let me ask you a question then.
Go ahead.
In that context, in just about every European country, certainly every Middle Eastern country, I can't speak to Asia because it's not my area of expertise, but everybody's got a national identification card.
Yeah.
The Greeks, I think, were the last in the EU because, you know, the church was against it. They said it was the mark of the beast. And then the EU, in all their infinite wisdom, began the Greek series with the numbers 666, which just made the whole thing. It delayed it by a decade. Seriously, I was living in Greece at the time. It was a catastrophe.
Hilarious.
So the Greeks finally got a national identification card called a taftotita. Why are Americans so opposed to a national ID card?
I think it's cultural, right? I mean, it's one of those things, like the idea that you could, you know, like in, I don't know how it is in Greece. I imagine it's the same in France and in most countries. If a police officer approaches you and demands to see your national ID card, you have to present it. You have to have it on you. You don't forget it when you go out to the store. And if you don't have it, they can detain you indefinitely until they determine your identity.
You know, I disagree with very strongly. And I watch these YouTube and TikTok videos every single day of what are called First Amendment auditors who will just go, they'll wear masks. So all you can see are their eyes. And they're just standing there with their cameras mounted to a stabilization pole. And they'll just stand like outside of a bank or outside of a police station. And invariably somebody loses their shit and they call the cops, and then the cops come.
There's some creepy dude taking our pictures.
Uh-huh. In about a third of the cases, the cops say, oh, you're public property, taking photographs. Okay, have a good day. And they walk away. But two thirds of the time, the cops are like, let me see some ID. And the photographer will say, am I being detained? Yeah. For what crime? Suspicion. Oh, is suspicion a felony or a misdemeanor? Well, we're going to see about that. It's like, no, cop, you don't know the law. Things up. Yeah. You just make stuff up. You cannot demand my ID if I have not committed a crime, am about to commit a crime, or am in the process of committing a crime. Cops in 17 states, they can. In 33 states, the cops cannot demand an ID. They can see, do you mind if I see your ID? In which case you can say, go fly a kite. But I'm opposed to giving cops the authority to demand ID. With that said, one of the things that never ceases to shock me is how few people actually carry an ID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's no, that's for sure. The thing is, I think traditionally it's been the slippery slope argument, John. Mm-hmm. People are afraid that if the ID is issued, that it wouldn't just be used to make your life easier so that, you know, if you go to the Social Security office, here I am. If that's what it was, I don't think most people would mind. It's actually, I like having my French ID. Parenthetically, in France charges you for a passport. It charges you for any travel document like that. It does not charge you for the national ID card. That's considered, the French Supreme Court has ruled that it's because the state requires you to have it. It's they must supply it for free, no fee. And I think that's part of my argument against the Save America Act. If you're going to require something, it's basically an unfunded mandate, right? Like if you pass a law and say you have to have something, then, you know, it ought to be free. It ought to be supplied by the, I don't think the government should even charge fees for, you know, any document. Like,
I feel very strongly about that. I think all mandated IDs should be free for everybody.
Now they'll say, well, passport's not mandated, but I mean, come on, you should have one. So like,
Everybody should have a passport.
Everybody should have one. So, So, I mean, what do you think? The Republicans are obviously I wanted to sort of get your thoughts about the politics here. It looks to me like the Republicans are really, really worried about this fall, like more than even we thought. And that if they're talking about pulling the nuclear option to get this through, that shows their desperation, because it means that when the Democrats get back in charge, the filibuster will probably be dead.
Yeah, it'll be gone. If the Republicans go to the nuclear option on this, it plays directly into the Democrats' hands. Just like when Harry Reid went to the nuclear option on federal judges.
Yep.
the Republicans were like, thank you, Harry Reid, thank you, because we are going to screw you, but good, when we're in charge. And that's exactly what happened. So Donald Trump is on record as being strongly, stridently opposed to the filibuster because it handcuffs him. And he's been pressuring Republican senators to go to the nuclear option, do away with the filibuster, because it's going to be great for Donald Trump. But then when Donald Trump's not president anymore, then there's going to be hell to pay for the Republicans. The Democrats will be able to do anything they want, anything at all.
For sure. So, again, I would say it's very short-sighted. You know, the party in power always thinks it's going to be like that forever, as we've talked about.
May I add one thing, Ted? I've mentioned in the past, I've got a friend who works in the White House. And he told me, and I think I've said this in the past, this was about 4 weeks ago. He said that internal RNC polls show the Republicans losing 40 House seats. 40 House seats.
I had heard 30.
In a best case scenario, the Republicans are going to lose 15. There was a piece in the Washington Post yesterday about Abby Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia, the former CIA officer. Abby, on her very first day as governor, signed a bill into law calling for a special election to be held in April that would allow the redrawing of district boundaries in Virginia in response to what the Republicans have done in Texas and Florida and elsewhere, North Carolina, Indiana, not Indiana, they voted no. But anyway, you get the idea. Mm. It's currently 6-5 Democratic among, you know, congressional representatives in Virginia. Under the new Democratic bill, it would be 10-1 Democrats. Donald Trump did this. He forced state legislatures to redraw boundaries, and the Democrats said, okay, you want to do that? We can do that too. They redrew New York. They're going to pick up 3 more seats in New York. They are redrawing California. They can pick up 5 more seats in California. They can pick up 4 more seats in Virginia. Like, was it really worth it?
Yeah, once you pull up that string, the whole thing unravels.
Exactly. The whole sweater comes unraveled. Didn't we say ages ago that that what the Republicans are doing is they're just re-implementing the 1980s boundaries, right? Before Congress decided to redraw everything to make incumbents safe. So instead of having turnovers of 40, 50, 60 seats, which were not unusual, we're getting turnovers of 3, 5, 10 seats.
I love the law of unintended consequences. It's one of my favorite things. It drives history. We'll continue to follow that. Do you think the Republicans will do this before we move on, John? Do you think they'll resort to the nuclear option?
I don't. I think John Thune, I think he's a good leader for the Republicans.
He's a traditionalist.
He's a traditionalist, and I think he's going to stand up here
and just be like, no. Okay, well, I hope you're right there. We shall see. All right, and then we still have the jobs numbers and Jordan to talk about. But we should do some questions. Thank you for the $5 Canadian on YouTube. If an electoral college isn't democracy, then what do you think of parliamentary democracies where 34% of the popular vote can form a majority government? Well, it forms a plurality government, right? I think that's a democracy. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do too. Because I'm so familiar with Greece, I keep coming back to Greece. And you can do it in so many different ways, right? You can have a parliamentary democracy that looks so different from others. The way the Greeks did it was after decades of weak coalition governments, because there are so many viable political parties, 6, 7, 8 viable political parties. What they did is they passed a new electoral law, 10, 12 years ago, where whichever party is first past the poll, right? Whichever party comes in first gets an extra 50 seats.
Mm.
So they can form a majority and they don't have to ask, you know, the conservatives are asking the communists to join with them to fight the socialists. And it's, you just end up with meaningless, powerless governments. But there are different ways of doing it, you know, and in the American context where, let's be honest, just about every American is a capitalist. You can be sort of a social Democrat or a conservative Republican or whatever, but most of us are capitalists. So you're not going to get these extremes that we've seen in other countries. Like the Greek Communist Party consistently wins between 3 and 5%. And that's just enough to be a splinter in the butt of whatever party happens to have the working majority. That wouldn't be the case in the United States because we don't have a viable communist party or even a viable socialist party.
Not yet. And probably not ever, but yeah. firmware. Thanks for the twofer. Harry Reid, a giant of the Senate. What? I think John was being sarcastic.
I was being sarcastic. I know. I'll tell you what, that literally the only thing I ever liked about Harry Reid is every single time I would go to a Pete Seeger concert and I followed Pete all over the East Coast, Harry Reid was in the audience.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, he loved Pete Seeger as much as I do, or did. Okay. There are a lot of good questions today, you guys.
There are. Let's bang them out, John. Okay, John, you know where that came from? Putin once says there's no such thing as a former KGB man. That's where these dumbos get that.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Thanks for the $2. All Kiriakou was really replaced by a cyborg, like in Future World. I don't know what that reference is. I mean, I know what Future World is. Three Birds, One Stone. Thanks for the $2. Interested to know if you guys believe in divine justice and how all the bullying and killing the U.S. is doing and backing all over the world will come back on us one day, maybe soon. Well, that's called blowback, right?
Yeah.
It happens sometimes, not most of the time. I would love to believe in divine justice, but yeah. I don't.
That's exactly how I feel. I want to believe that karma is out there, but I don't know.
Don't body doubles exist? Wouldn't Mark Epstein, Jeff Epstein, right, have incentives to go along?
No, Mark Epstein.
Have you seen the earprint of Epstein's body? No, I have avoided the earprint.
I've not seen the earprint, but I talked to Mark Epstein about 2 weeks ago. And he identified his brother's body. He said, Jeffrey Epstein's dead. But his position is that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's my position, too. Daddy of Triplets, thanks for the $10. I live in Tampa. There's been a large and loud increase of activity in the skies coming from MacDill Air Force Base. Sounds like the military action is not too far away. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the Pentagon is preparing for the worst in Iran. Yeah. I think that we should take these pronouncements by the Pentagon and the White House very seriously. God knows they are out here in the Gulf.
How are they going to handle that at the same time as Cuba collapses?
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, seriously. James Kane, would a conflict between Israel and Turkey be the end of NATO?
That's a good question. That is a very good question.
An attack on one is an attack on all.
We should give that thought. That's worth writing about.
Yeah, let's think about that. Let's come back to that like later in the week. All right. We'll cogitate on that. That's one of those things you have to have running in the background. But
there's also a question from Aman. He says that there's fear in Amman about this concept of greater Israel.
Well, let's talk about that then.
I'm worried about this.
So basically, Israel is moving to fully, formally annex the West Bank. I mean, you know, it's pretty much all but done. But now they're going to sell the colonists, Palestinian Arab land. And so I don't know, again, how that works legally when you don't have the original deeds to that land in the first place. I guess you just make it up and you stamp a Star of David on the top of the deed and call it a day, right? So that means the Jordanians currently kind of like, if you look at the map, they have the West Bank as kind of a buffer zone between them and Israel proper. Mm-hmm. That will no longer be true. They'll have the Zionists right up on their ass right on the banks of the Jordan on the river, right, like right up there on the Allenby Bridge. And, you know, that's making the Jordanians nervous. They think that basically the intent of the Israelis is to make life so miserable for the West Bank residents that they're going to, many of them, be pushed out, and there'll be a migrant flow into Jordan. And thus, you know, and we see, anybody who watches Zionist propaganda online knows that that's the dream, right? The Zionists always argue there is a Palestinian state. It's called Jordan, and they should take all the Palestinians, and we want all of historical Israel, as they call it, and Samaria and Judea for themselves. They don't want to share with the Palestinians. So the Jordan, so, you know, normally a stable Jordan has been a cornerstone of American foreign policy. And now it looks like the Trump administration isn't paying a lot of attention to the kingdom, right? And the Jordanians are getting fucking nervous as shit. And if Jordan goes, I mean, that's a stalwart. I mean, that would be a real problem. It's hard to even know what would happen as a result.
I'm genuinely worried about this. You know, there's somebody at my door. I apologize.
Okay.
Hold that thought.
Okay. I will hold that thought. Let me see if there's like a, here, I'll bring in Robbie. So I have company here. Hey, Robbie. So Robbie, let's talk about immigration. I know you have thoughts about that.
No, never.
No. So new jobs numbers are out. Last year, between 200,000 and 1 million immigrants, that's a big range. So it's funny that that range is so big, but basically stopped working, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Either they got fired, they quit their jobs, or they were deported, right? But they left, but unemployment for, you know, people like you and I who were born here in the U.S. jumped from 4.1 a year ago to 4.7% this last month in January. That's not only higher than the overall unemployment rate of 4.3, but even higher than the 4.6 for foreign-born workers. We thought, and you and I have I've argued this at your side. Let me put John back on here. John, we're talking about the jobs numbers. And basically the idea is that we would think that like getting rid of illegal immigrants would open jobs for native-born Americans, and that their unemployment rate should at least stay stable. And anyway, it's the American Enterprise Institute, which is right-wing, says that basically the deportations cause a reduction in demand, and since consumerism drives 2/3 of the economy, that has caused a surprising increase in unemployment among those of us who are, you know, native-born U.S. citizens. Now, there are other explanations for all this, but what do you guys think?
Well,
I think there's something to that. Go ahead, Robbie.
I think that the big canary in the room is wages. Just because these jobs come open, if they don't pay enough for you actually be able to pay your bills, why would you do that? I mean, that ultimately is the issue, is until labor is recalibrated to actually have real value, people are not going to take these jobs because, frankly,
they can't afford to.
Yeah. I mean, why would you?
Yeah, but Robbie, the same Republicans who say what you say are the ones who were bitching about inflation during the Biden administration and essentially threw all the Democrats out. Nobody wants to pay $20 a pound for chicken. But if you fire all of the Ecuadorians who work in the chicken plants or whatever they call the chicken places, the chicken
processing
plants, and you replace them with Americans, and you have to pay them wages that Americans will take that terrible work for, nobody's going to be able to buy chicken.
But how do we know? We haven't tried.
Biden tried, in that he allowed prices to rise. If you raise wages in order to attract native-born Americans into those jobs that immigrants have right now, nobody's going to be able to afford anything.
Yeah, but here's the difference, though. I think here's probably the conflation, and this probably needs to be its own episode, maybe with Achilles, inflation is the expansion of the money supply. It's not rising prices. Rising prices are a symptom of it. What inflation does is that it destroys the purchasing power of every dollar that's in existence because you're creating more dollars.
So what do you do to combat rising prices then?
The only thing that you can do is that you have to push wages up. And that's the one thing. Pushing wages up
doesn't reduce inflation.
No, it'll increase inflation.
It increases inflation.
Now, my argument is that it doesn't matter. That as long as inflation doesn't get out of control, as long as people's wages are increasing faster than prices, it's fine.
Yeah, but that's the problem right now is that wages are stagnant. They've been stagnant for 20 years, and immigration, is a key factor of that. That there's a reason why both political parties want immigration.
Guys, I think that there's something else going on. I think that this 1 year long experiment in mass deportations is. It's too early to tell, as Zhou Enlai would say. I mean, so if you're an employer who has a bunch of low wage jobs that are going wanting because there's no one to fill them right now, yeah, maybe right now you can hold tight, but eventually you're going to have to come to Jesus and you're going to have to pay more and hire someone.
Yeah, you have to.
I think it's sort of like the housing market when the housing market starts to go down. And then, people who own houses don't want to drop their housing price. They don't want to sell at a loss. And they just hold those prices. And then nothing's being sold until eventually people have to move and they have to sell. And then but it takes a while. And not to mention also, generally speak, the tariffs and AI are pushing unemployment higher. I mean, I think we're slowly sliding into a very slow moving recession.
I think we've been in a recession now for a long time. It's just the government's lying about it.
Well, we've had a stagnant economy, but
there's a specific definition of inflation. It's consecutive quarters with negative economic growth.
You
can't falsify those numbers.
Well, I mean, for example, depending on where in the country is that you live, you could definitely be in a local recession.
I grew up. John and I grew up in local recessions.
We're still in recession since the 70s.
Go to Ohio; it's dead. Montana's toast. I mean, we're screwed. Talk about those Californians who are leaving California. Yeah, I know. Those fuckers are coming here, and they need to stay away.
Yeah, if you own a Dow index fund, you're a happy man.
Yes, exactly right.
Hey, Pam Bondi's happy. Look at the Dow. Look at the Dow. Screw Main Street.
Right.
Seriously? Right. Is that the kind of government we want? I don't.
Well, I think, again, politically, fall's coming. That's not going to help with those 40 seats, is it? Right? I mean, the economy is not. I don't see any signs of improvement in the pipeline in the next few months.
No. And it's not like the Democrats have any new ideas.
No. No. They're just going to benefit because when in a two-party system, when you're pissed, you vote for the party out of power. That's all. It doesn't mean we like the party out of power. It just means we're trying to express our anger here.
That's it.
But there are others who are mad. They just don't care.
Hey, I want to thank Sodan for his for another $20. Sodan, you're so incredibly generous to us. Thank you. And he's got a question as to where we think Epstein would rank as an intelligence asset. Was he better placed than the Cambridge Five, Ames, and other foreign assets? And did he do more damage than Kim Philby? I'm gonna take a first chop at that. I'm gonna say the Cambridge Five were better placed because they were literally at the top of MI6. Ames was so incredibly well placed that it did lasting damage. Ames was the head of counterintelligence at the CIA for the Soviet branch, which later became the Russia branch, and 12 CIA assets were executed because of his treachery. And, Philby was recruited in college and directed to join MI6, and he became the deputy director of MI6. I think that Epstein has been damaging, but not like those guys. Those guys were damaging at historic levels.
There is absolutely nothing I could add to that. And so I'm not going to try. Demwell, here in Cyprus, there are hundreds of aircraft using Andreas Papandreou? Airbase in Cyprus. Could this be the big preparation for the invasion of Iran? Also, a huge U.S. contingent in RAF Akrotiri.
Yeah, the RAF... The British have just sort of lopped off this giant chunk of Cyprus and just won't give it back.
But we wouldn't do a ground invasion. We would do it would be an aerial bombardment campaign.
And those are air bases mm-hmm. in Cyprus. Yeah, Akrotiri is the British air base. The Americans also have an air base. Cyprus is also used as a site for evacuations. So if Americans need to be evacuated from Lebanon or from Israel, or even Jordan, they're normally flown to Cyprus. You know, take that with the information that we just heard a moment ago about increased air activity over Tampa coming out of MacDill Air Force Base, with the second aircraft carrier battle group steaming to the Persian Gulf. This is bad. You know, I'm watching CNN International all day long, and they're saying that the U.S. and Iran came out of the second round of talks in Geneva yesterday and both said positive things. That's fine for today. But mm-hmm. when the aircraft carrier battle group, the second one, gets to the region in the next 10 days or so, shit's going to get ugly. I hate to say it.
Agreed. And let's see. Okay, so Ish Mustafa, follow up from Aman. Are you hopeful of a peaceful integration of different Middle Eastern cultures? I've seen a vicious cycle of hatred here, which really perpetuates the regional issues.
I agree with that completely. This is something that...
Well, the question is there going to be a... Are we hopeful of a peaceful integration, I would say?
I'm not. I'm not hopeful of a peaceful... I mean, sure. Yes, I hope... there could be a peaceful integration. I think there won't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why no other countries want Palestinians is not just because they've got this bias against Palestinians, which they do, but it's also because it gives the Israelis an out. And the Israelis say, oh, you're willing to take Palestinians? Here, take more. And next thing you know, there are no Palestinians in Palestine anymore.
Well, let's talk about that. You had to go answer the door when we were just starting to talk about Jordan. I thought this was a really big fucking deal. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. This is a very big deal. Oh, and thank you for raising that. There was a point I wanted to make. When the Israelis and the Jordanians were negotiating their peace treaty decades ago, and they finally agreed and they signed, the Israelis went to the Jordanians and said, listen, in the spirit of honesty and peace, we want you to know we've been incrementally stealing your land for decades. And what the Israelis were doing was at night, in the dark of night, they would move the border fence like a foot at a time, just a foot, so that the Jordanians never noticed. But you do this over the course of decades, and they had taken something like 150 meters of Jordanian land that was now inside the Israeli border.
That's fucking hilarious. So
they moved ridiculous. The fence back. Yeah, it's nuts.
It's sort of like in the suburbs where, you know, there's no fence and your neighbor, you can sort of tell where the property line is because it's where people cut their lawn and they cut it at a slightly different level. And then, you know, you notice one dude, he kind of goes 6 inches over the next time he cuts his lawn and he's like encroaching. And the next thing you know, he's up against the wall of the next house.
Yes, it's true.
That is fucking hilarious. So they were working Zeno's paradox.
Yes.
All the way to Amman, they were hoping. Next year in Amman. Next year in Aqaba.
Exactly. Oh, they're just awful. Just awful.
Are the Jordanians raising Cain behind the scenes? Are they, are they yelling at, Rubio and saying, like, cut the shit? What are they doing?
It's not in the Jordanian character to just sort of fly off the handle. It's not. The Jordanians are very diplomatic.
Yeah.
They're very behind the scenes. They don't raise their voices.
They're the fancy ones.
Yeah. If I were a Jordanian government official, especially one involved in foreign affairs or defense, I would be very nervous right now. Very nervous, because none of this is good news.
I mean, they used to have a working relationship with Israel.
Oh yeah.
What happened?
Even before peace.
Yeah.
It's the Israeli nature just to push and push and push until somebody finally pushes back hard.
They just never leave well enough alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is their national character. John, the first time I went to Israel, they were trying to encourage Israel to become more of an international, like, tech country. And there were these billboards and TV ads that were encouraging Israelis to stop being so rude on the phone. And so they would be like, when you pick up the phone, don't just say "what," like say "hello." How can I help you?
You see that in traffic in Israel too. I have driven. I've told you before. I've been to 72 countries. I've driven in almost all of them, and I've encountered certainly worse traffic than I've encountered in Israel. I've never encountered ruder drivers, like just driving with one finger out the window, right? Beeping literally the nanosecond that the light turns green, screaming at each other. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're fucking maniacs.
You're going to stroke out. Relax.
Yeah, they're maniacs. Totally. Yeah. And I've driven in some pretty wild fucking places like India and Pakistan. Afghanistan. I love driving overseas. I feel like it's not to be missed. Any opportunity to get a rental car and, get some strange Bulgarian rental car that you don't know where where the horn is or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I will not miss that. And to drive a stick, it's the only way to stay in practice, driving a stick. I learned on one and, now I don't have one and I miss it. Ahmed by 9HU is asking if you're paid by Qatar.
No, but I would very much like to be paid by Qatar. They have lots of money. If you know somebody you can introduce me to, I'm all ears.
Yeah, and if there's any money left over after John, I'll take some too.
Okay. Yeah, great.
John and Ted, have you heard anything about how Jermall Thomas is doing? I've texted Jermall.
Good. I'll do the
same. He seems to be he's promising to be back on the air soon. He's doing better. He's recovering. I think it was, basically he doesn't seem to think he's in great shape, but I think he's in better shape than he thinks he is. I think he sounds better than he thinks he sounds. I think there's been like a loss of confidence since his mini stroke, but I think he's going to be okay. I'm not a doctor, but he's on the mend, I think is the right way to put it.
Do you know where he is, Ted?
I think he's back home. He's stateside. He's back. He's near you.
Oh, good, good, good. I'll give him a call when I get home.
Cool.
Getting back to Qatar too, in all seriousness, I want to do this speaking tour of the Gulf in October. I would love it if Qatar Airways would agree to be one of my sponsors. So if anybody knows anybody out there, before I start calling in some chips, let me know.
Question for you, John. Have you ever been stopped by the Taftish in Kuwait?
No.
What is the
tough? No, I'm when I'm in Kuwait, I'm always accompanied by somebody from the Kuwaiti government. I've never had any issues at all.
What is the Taftish? Is that the secret police? What is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like the government police. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I guess. Yeah, all right, let's see what other questions there are here. Question from Ahmad. Why do you hate Reza Pahlavi?
Because he's a clown and a pretender. And there's nothing Iranian about him. And he's from a family of thieves. And he's not very intelligent. And I can come up with a half a dozen other reasons why I don't like him. You know, another, I'll tell you another reason. He fucked his brother's wife. And his brother was so upset that he committed suicide. And
Don't kill yourself over a woman. Never again.
Yeah, I can't respect a person like that. I just can't.
Let's talk. God is asking, what do you think America's biggest strength is? Great work. Hope you get that pardon, John. That's a great question.
It's a great question. I think it's our multiculturalism. It makes us a stronger country.
Yeah, it brings in a lot of ideas, and I agree with that. Ideas and concepts and industries from all over the world, different cultures. Monocultures tend to be weaker, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, but also, man, that geographic positioning is to die. You know, I mean, we have, you know, there's all these theories about, like, you want north-south, big north-south rivers, not big east-west rivers like China has, because you can trade through different climatic zones. You want, you know, we're protected by two giant oceans to the east and west, two allied states to the north and south. We're separated by thousands of miles of water. We have incredibly rich natural resources. Also, we haven't been sucking nutrients out of the land for thousands of years the way the Chinese have or the Europeans have.
Yes.
So the fact that it's a new, big, well-situated country counts for a lot.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Let's see here. Oh, sorry. I see that there's a new comment up. Let me get it. Okay. I'm just spitballing here, Laughing Gunnar says, but you two should do a comic book release. Okay.
Okay.
If only there was someone here who knew how to draw cartoons.
I know, right?
So
I sent you some pictures, by the way.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to be drawing.
Thank you.
I will be drawing that. Okay. All right. So I think we are pretty much ready to wrap it up here.
If we have 1 minute, I want to call your attention, Ted, to this Randy Fine, Representative Randy Fine, the newest member of Congress from Florida, Republican of Florida, won a special election. He really stepped in it yesterday when he tweeted that if he had to choose between Muslims and dogs, he would choose dogs.
God.
And then he doubled down on it, refused to retract the statement. Democrats are just apoplectic about this. There's talk of censuring him, of impeaching him. He just refuses to back down. One of the more sickening aspects of this kerfuffle is that literally not one single House Republican said publicly that he shouldn't have said that.
Quite a few chimed in on X. I've been following this all day yesterday. A lot of quote unquote mainstream Republicans agreed, and like basically they tried to spin it like, don't fuck with our dogs, man. Yeah. As if he said that
nobody should be allowed to own a dog, or he was criticizing people who said that we shouldn't. No, that's not at all what he said.
No one ever said that we shouldn't have dogs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Loser.
You know who else hated dogs? That was Thomas Jefferson. And it is funny too. Like there were some Muslims on my feed who were like, you know, they are objectively unclean. I'm like, yeah they eat their own shit. So yeah.
They do.
But they're cute as shit. Anyway, so that's all that really matters.
Oh, Demwil, really quickly, Demwil. I'm going to be in Cyprus for 10 days in May. I'm going to speak in both Nicosia and wherever the Cypriot diaspora convention's being held. 10 days. Hope to see you.
All right, guys. That's it for us here today. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, 9 a.m. Eastern time for this show. Please stay tuned for TMI with me and Manila Chan coming right up right now. If you're on Rumble, we'll just raid you and see you on the other side. If you're on YouTube, you got to go look for us. Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow, John.
Ted, I'm flying in tomorrow.
Okay. So are you indisposed?
I'm going to email you. I think I'm going to get back just in time for the second half.
Okay. Well, email me. All right. Okay. Or text or whatever. Okay. Bye.